Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. Yes, I'm Ann Eller, and yes, it's a beautiful afternoon out there. And I do have Karen Petty, the Executive Director of the Humane Society of Greenwood, here with us. You know, what exactly, I mean, this is just a rhetorical question. When you put executive in front of your name, what does that exactly mean?
I have no idea.
one day I said executive director to somebody, and they go, I'm not the executive director. I'm just the director. So I just wondered what the difference was.
Well, maybe that means I can hire directors to do, you know, director of development, director of marketing. You know, that's a good question because I've had to fill out forms. And sometimes I think it sounds like I'm being very smug to write it out. But maybe that just means there's room for more directors to come on board.
Okay. All right. But how many directors do you have now?
None. I'm it.
That's what I was thinking.
So I'm the number one. Yeah.
So that's why you're the executive director.
Yeah, there you go. You answered the question. Very
exactly.
good.
Exactly. So how are you doing this?
I'm doing very well. It is a beautiful day. It's a nice September day. Doing well.
Absolutely. Boy, though, I wonder how all this rain has affected all the things at the Humane Society
out
there.
Well, the grass has been growing, so we've had to get it mowed a lot more. But it was actually nice this year because the temperatures were pretty mild during the rainy times. Don't get me wrong, it's hard to take care of animals that are outside when you have to go out in the rain. It's a challenge for sure, but it didn't seem to keep people back, and we kept, you know, functioning pretty normal.
Sure. So, did it create any more mud or anything like that?
Yeah, you didn't wear the shoes you wanted to keep clean, and your clothes always had paw prints slapped on the back. Yeah, you didn't go there wearing anything that you wanted to wear again, really.
Okay. Well, the Humane Society, in case you don't know where this is, it is out there behind the Civic Center. Karen, what all is out there?
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned it. The way you said that, that's something I've had to even correct myself. There is no Humane Society building. There's my office where the executive director resides. But we don't have a shelter. We don't have a facility. It's really the Greenwood County Animal Shelter. And Humane Society staff manage the facility. We have a contract with the county. So back there is the shelter where animals are brought in by animal control or the public, turned in. People turn in their own pets. People find animals a lot and bring them to us. And then there's the adoption center where we try to get out as many as we can back into the community and rehome them. And then we have my office around the corner, and we had a spay-neuter clinic that is no longer operational. We've turned it into sort of a kitten foster area. It's difficult to keep kittens healthy at the old shelter structure. There's just too many, there's too much disease that can spread around. And so we move them to the new clinic, and we're able to save a lot of kittens' lives over there. So we're still utilizing it to help animals.
So, you brought up an interesting topic, the contract. There's been some in the newspaper and whatnot about the contract with the county.
Right.
What is the status? What's going on with that?
Well, I attended the finance meeting last week, and it was brought before council and discussed, and we got to hammer out some details, and I was able to answer some questions, and went into the most recent council meeting thinking we were going to have a vote on it and get it settled, and there seems to be some, I don't know if concern's the right word, but some concern for a certain point that requires the shelter to be inspected and brought to code. And the code it would be needed to meet is whatever the code was enforced at the time the buildings were built. Well, some of those buildings are pretty old, so it's not like they have to
come up
rebuild the structures. And from what I understand, it's fairly minor concerns, mainly electrical. So those are things I kind of hope they would repair sooner than later, because I don't know what that means.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I'll be honest with you, Ann. I don't really know what the confusion is. It's their language. We were comfortable with it. The board voted on it, and everything was kind of fine. But I guess they just want to be absolutely 100% sure that they inspect it more thoroughly and there's not something else kind of hidden in there that needs to be addressed in a different way. Once they sign the contract, the way it's written, the clock starts ticking. They have precisely 60 days to get all of those issues taken care of. So I think they're just being cautious, and they're going to revisit this at the next meeting on the 17th.
Now, does this have to do with money issues, like how much is paid to y'all? Because you get paid by the county, correct?
Right.
Does it have to do with that?
I don't believe so, because the way even the original contract was written back in 2002, the county is responsible for maintaining their buildings, and so we can operate out of them. And so this wouldn't be coming out of the operational budget. I'm assuming maintenance, or to be honest, I don't really know. But that could be part of the problem too. They didn't foresee this when they were doing the budget from March till the end of June, and this is a new thing that came up, and you know that could
be. But it's going to cost money too.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, yeah, right. So I mean, that's a good point. That could be part of it too. They want to make sure they've got the funding to do all this. I mean, it has to be done. I would imagine you've got to meet code. There's no question about it. So I'm sure this will all be finalized very soon.
And then as far as the structure that you're in now and the future plans for the new structure, albeit we don't know where it is or when it's coming or any of these other things, there's a $500,000 bond that is sitting there now. Is that money that you actually get to use, or what is the scoop on that?
No, the money belongs to the county. It doesn't belong to us at all. It's the way the bond reads, that money can either be used for capital improvements to the current facility where it stands now, and or the construction of a new facility. So it's, since we don't have any finalized grand plan for the new facility, we kind of did, and then as we kept moving forward and things were changing and more questions were coming up than answers being provided, not by the county, but I mean all of us, we were coming up with more questions than answers. Really, the whole thing kind of came to a halt until we can get some real definite answers on who owns the building. If it's the county facility, should they be funding the construction of it? Can we create sort of a real marriage between the Humane Society and the county? And we also run a campaign and throw in a percentage of the total cost. But one thing that became very, very clear is that $500,000 is not going to build a new structure to meet the needs of this community.
Now, Mom, you say meet the needs of this community. We have too many pets. We have too many animals.
There's a lot of unwanted homeless pets. There's great pet owners in the community, but there's just more pets than people want to have. Okay. So they end up as overflow at the shelter. And then the ironic thing is, you know, I think a lot of people assume it's a no-kill facility because a Humane Society operates it. No, we have to operate it as a county shelter. It's open intake. So that means that if we have all cages filled and you found a litter of whatever and you bring it in and you're a Greenwood resident, we have to take those animals. Well, what do we do if we don't have room? You know, animals are euthanized daily out there because they either get sick, which is a problem being in the old structure, or simply there's no space. And actually, the ultimate reason is no space, because if we had an isolation area that we could put sick animals and separate them from the general population, then we could possibly hold on to them. But then you also need money for the medicines to treat them. So there's a whole lot of dynamics that come into play, and it's never an easy choice, and it's not always black and white of which animals get put to sleep. It's a lot of things that people wouldn't even know about that we have to consider when that choice is made. But sometimes when you have a lot brought in at one time, you have to make some knee-jerk decisions just because it's like triage. You just have to, you're on the fly.
So are you saying that new animals could be an older animal that had been there? I mean, there's no exactly, what should we say, rhyme or reason how you make those decisions?
There is in that there's a legal hold time. So you're right. You hit a good point. If we had a dog or cat there and they've passed the 5-day hold time, if they're a stray, that kind of means they're fair game either to be put up for adoption, mm-hmm. or offered for rescue or put to sleep. And so if we have a new animal come in and we have to hold them there 5 days between the two, if we're stuck in a hard spot, the one that we've been wanting to do something for and maybe invested vaccines, heartworm tests, or leukemia tests for cats, unfortunately that's the one that would have to be put down. Or it could be we go to the adoption center. There might be a dog that's been up there for a month and there's been no interest. Well, to be fair, if you think about it, is it fair to house the same pets in the adoption center and that the ones in the shelter never get seen? They never even get a chance.
Right.
That's not good. That's not good, and that's not fair either. That's not humane. So we may end up going to the adoption center to make space to bring that one that we've been cultivating at the shelter.
Who has to make those decisions?
Well, the shelters, the whole staff at some point, but our shelter manager, God bless her, she ultimately is the one. She's got such a level head for this, and she performs due diligence. She'll scan them and rescan them for microchip, just hoping she can find an owner. That's the first thing we want to do with strays, find the owner. And so she is left often with the ultimate decision, but I can tell you, and there's been lots of tears shed and lots of change of mind when everyone cries and like, okay, we'll give it another day. Where are we going to put it? You know? There's a lot of employees who have taken pets home for the night just to make it so it can have another chance, because a lot of things change in 24 hours.
Sure.
You can have an adoption and then that opens up space. But she's very good at going to the staff and saying, look, I know this is one of your favorites. This is my options. Help me make it. What should we do? And she'll involve the staff. If it involves the adoption center, I'm usually consulted because I've invested marketing the animal on Facebook or doing different things to try to help promote it. And, you know, it's a group decision on some of them. But a lot of times when it is knee jerk, it might be if that dog's heartworm positive, then that's going to be the logical choice when it comes down to it. You know, there's not much question.
That makes it hard, though, doesn't it?
It's never easy. Never.
Yep. And if anybody has a dog or a cat, you know, you have a extra soft spot. You know, if you are if you're an animal person,
right,
you have an extra soft spot because you know how much that animal that you had given you,
right,
whether you still have it or not. Yeah.
It's something that, and I you know, until you're in the situation, you just can't even. And I speak for myself. I was a volunteer for years, and then when I had to get involved into the actual work of it, it's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I've had pets all my life. I had no idea. And we've had, you know, our vet that we used to come out, her whole world turned upside down when she got to see the dynamics and the difficulties and the challenges that the staff face every day out there. It's just people have a lot of expectations, or the public, they have expectations that are so unrealistic. But then God bless the people that do support. God bless our supporters, because without them, we wouldn't be able to save lives at all.
You're absolutely right. Hey, I tell you what, I'm here with Karen Penny, the Executive Director of the Humane Society of Greenwood. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Karen Petty with us, the Executive Director of the Humane Society of Greenwood. They are over the Greenwood County Shelter for Animals out there. And, of course, we've just been talking about the difficulty of trying to make that decision on, that was a pretty bad decision to have to make, who lives and who dies.
Well,
yeah.
Especially for us, we're animal lovers. It's like the worst thing that we have to contend with out there. Absolutely. It's the worst. I said, don't make me cry.
All right. I'm not going to make you cry.
Okay.
I just think sometimes we don't think about that aspect of it. You know, we may drop off a pet because we can't deal with it. We can't handle it. You may feel, and I think you always feel guilty whenever you do drop off an animal, because most people have tried to find it a home,
right,
before they take it to the Humane Society. So that does make it doubly tough.
Absolutely. And I've been in those shoes as well. Since working there, I had a dog that I ended up with. It was causing more trouble in the neighborhood, and I love this dog, and I thought, I'm gonna have to turn in a dog. Oh, they're gonna stone me when I do this. And so it was really, I think, very good for me to have that perspective and go through that dilemma and struggle. And, you know, I didn't want to bring it to the shelter. Ended up a board member took it, thank God. But there was still, I didn't have that immediately. So I do have compassion. I think what I sense when I'm up in the front office, which I avoid as much as I can, when people bring in animals, they come in with a hope. And we see it as like, oh no, another one. And we want to be able to say, ma'am, sir, we got this. We promise, but we can't. And we feel tremendously guilty and sheepish to have to share the reality. We can't guarantee it. There's a 36% chance this pet will make it out of alive. You bring it to the last place you want to bring it.
Absolutely. You know, but talking about that, one of the things that you wanted to talk about was how the figures have changed dealing with Petco and PetSmart as an outside adoption. A lot of the dogs and whatnot are going up north because northerners like southern dogs.
You know what? They love hounds, and they don't have that many. So it's so funny. When I see hounds, I'm like, oh, we know where to send you. Yeah, this last year, you know, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but, you know, we had to think outside the box because, you know, there's just too many unwanted animals for evidently this population here in Greenwood to really handle or manage or take on, and we can't rehome them all here. We haven't been able to. So what we did, there's two things. One, a different method for cats versus dogs. With cats, with the opening of Petco and PetSmart last year and our ability to place adoptable cats at those locations, our adoption rate doubled essentially in 12 months.
And with kittens, that is a tremendous...
They say rabbits reproduce. Well, I'm thinking cats are right up there with rabbits because how many people see cats running across the road, kittens? I mean, people come in, I found this kitten in the road. Well, how did a kitten get in the road? I don't know, but they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And so for this opportunity through these local chains to hit us at the time where we just keep getting more cats and more cats was a godsend. So we actually, let me get my glasses on. Mm-hmm. In the previous year, the adoption rate for cats was only 9%.
9%.
So you know what that means?
That means 91% we're gone.
Exactly.
Yep.
There's so many. And they're so sensitive, believe it or not. They can get sick so easily. And so it's just not a cat-friendly a place for them when they go to the shelter. Well, it jumped up to 18% the very next year. 328 cats were able to get rehomed. That has helped tremendously. I mean, we were still getting them out through our adoption center, but certainly this other outlet has been tremendous. People, I think, feel so comfortable or maybe a little bit more relaxed going to a pretty retail location. And instead of coming to the shelter, people are trepidatious about coming out there. I don't want to come out. I want to take them all home. It's depressing. And I get that. So for them to be able to go to these retail locations and feel like they're just shopping at the mall, it's been a real, and these are quality adoptions. You know, we still screen them and go through the same process, and this turned out to be a huge benefit. And so we're very excited to still have this going on this current year.
Now, what about dogs?
Dogs, this is very interesting. We ended up devoting one of our employees solely to becoming a rescue coordinator. And are you familiar? You're familiar with rescue groups, aren't you, Anne?
Sure. Oh,
okay.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of people are not. Rescue groups are mostly nonprofit organizations made up of volunteers, where they might be a breed specific rescue, mm-hmm. Weimaraner rescue, right. Poodle rescue, and there's some that are just, we'll take whatever you got. We've had great partnerships developed with these agencies up in the north because they've had such an aggressive and effective spay neuter program, I guess, of sorts, up in the north. They really have a shortage of dogs.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
I know, right? Yes. So what they've done is they've reached out to the southern shelters as sort of the mission field, if you will, and they're getting wonderful dogs, and they're helping us at the same time. So we've partnered with some wonderful groups who have even turned around and donated significant money to us because they believe in us and they want to help Greenwood. And through the rescue efforts, our adoptions... live release rate. And what that means is the animals that get out alive went from 267 2 years ago, just rescue, and 309 adoptions, so a total of 576, and a 38% live release rate to a 53%, over half of the dogs are getting out alive. 637 went to rescue, 192 adopted locally. So what does that tell us we need to be focusing our attention on?
More out of the area.
Amen, yeah. Sister. Right. And we're getting these pictures and stories and videos back of these animals in their new homes, and holy cow, if I could go along with any of them, I would in a heartbeat. These are quality homes where they don't chain the dog up. These are just wonderful, wonderful situations. And I'm sure they're not all totally perfect, but these groups have the luxury of really vetting the homes that they go to, making sure it's a good match. And they can take dogs from us that may have a real serious medical problem that we could never afford to repair.
Sure.
And they have the resources, and they'll put them in foster homes, and they'll even take the shyest of dogs and the craziest of dogs, and they'll work with them and train them and make them marketable pets. So through those efforts, I'm just so excited about the fact that over half the dogs last year got out alive. And for an open intake facility, that's really wonderful. And in a small southern town, amazing.
Absolutely. Now, we need to talk about, after the news, how we can stop the growth of so many puppies and kitties and all this kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, we'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller, right here with Karen Petty, the Executive Director of the Humane Society of Greenwood. You know, Karen, we were talking about how some communities up, particularly in the north, northeast, I guess, they have a deficit of animals. That's hard to believe.
I don't believe it. Yes, it's true. Now, I'm sure they've got rural areas where they have, you know, sure, similar situations like we do down here. But for the most part, it is the cities that they can't find puppies, and some of their shelters are empty.
Because it's hard to believe, isn't it?
They've had such an aggressive spay-neuter campaign going on since the 70s that's what can happen. When people come together and start now spaying and neutering, you don't have to kill them. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Isn't that a great idea?
Sure, exactly.
So I'm not quite sure what the problem is.
So it must be we don't spay and neuter enough animals here in Greenwood or Greenwood County or the surrounding areas.
Evidently.
So what do you do?
Well,
I mean, you don't spay right there. I think that's part of people's problem. Is that part of people's problem?
I don't know why it would be. We have lovely vets here in town that can perform the service, and there's also a large number of low-cost facilities in Greenville, Spartanburg, Columbia. Yeah, it's a little bit of a drive, but is it worth letting litters be born just to be euthanized? You found homes for your kittens. That's terrific. But did those people, are they guaranteed that all their kittens that they took from you are going to be spayed and neutered? Or are they going to then reproduce and have the same problem?
Well, one of the things, it is kind of cute to have those kittens and those puppies around.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Oh, my God. I'm the worst when the first kitten comes in the shelter, you know, the start of kitten season, because you haven't seen any for like 2 or 3 months. I'm like, oh! And then by the end of summer, you're like, not another one.
Or those kittens grow into big cats.
Oh, my gosh. And yeah. And, you know,
it's the same thing with puppies. You know, puppies are cute. Everybody loves a puppy.
Yes. They work. Anne, have you had a puppy?
Have I had a puppy? Yes, I've had a puppy.
They're work. People,
yes,
I've had many people who have had puppies in the past and come want to adopt an adult because it said, you know, it was a great experience, but it's like having another child that is literally running around the house and not wearing a diaper.
Right.
And so, you know, they appreciate more getting an adult dog where you know the temperament better. You kind of get a feel for what they're about. And with puppies, yeah, they're fun, but they're a lot of work. And if you just take a puppy because it's cute and put it in the backyard and don't give it attention, and then it grows up and becomes too much of a handful, it's digging holes because it's not getting attention, and you bring it to us thinking we're going to be able to rehome it, we don't have the luxury of time to help this dog break these very bad habits that it has developed because of a lack of attention.
Sure. So one of the things I think y'all do offer is you have, you take them in a van up to Spartanburg, don't you? Are you still doing
right.
that?
Right, Animal Allies sends, they actually send one of their vans.
Oh, they send theirs,
okay. Yeah, they provide the transport. It's a great win-win system. We basically just provide the location for people to bring the pets to be picked up. In fact, they're coming next Wednesday, and they're coming 3 times a month, and they come down early in the morning, pick your pets up, drive them back to Spartanburg, they all get spayed or neutered, and they bring them back down that same day about 6 o'clock. You come pick up your pet after work, and it's already been spayed or neutered. Oh. And it's low cost, so you're getting...
How much does it cost, roughly?
Oh.
Just roughly.
I think female cats are about 45, male cats maybe 32, and if they haven't had their rabies shot or distemper that is required, and they can do that up there for $13.
Okay.
And then I think female dogs might be 62. Now, call us for more information. But it's very affordable. But keep in mind, I need to stress too, I don't necessarily care where you get it done as long as you get it done. When you go to one of the regular vet practices, you're getting a lot more work done that you might want for your pet, like blood work to make sure it doesn't have some issue that you need to know about before it goes into surgery. With low cost, you're not getting all of those extra checks and balances. And so you have to weigh the cost and see what's important for you. And also with older animals or if a dog that has maybe diabetes, or there's certain things you need to go to a regular vet and don't use a low cost because there's too much risk on that surgery table of something going wrong.
Sure. So, you know, we could say there's no excuse, but I'll bet a lot of people out there saying, you know, $60, I just don't have it for my pet.
Well, you need to consider that before you get a pet. I think you need to take on the responsibility. If your pet's reproducing, you're part of the problem. And I mean, that's just the reality of it.
You're being harsh today.
I am feeling harsh. but you know what? Because you started me off talking about euthanasia, so now you got me on a roll. You know, they need to be the ones then coming back and doing the dirty deed. I don't mean, you know, I'm serious. You need to, why do we have to take the hit, the emotional hit, and do this on your behalf? Because, if you have money problems, then, you know, I'll tell you one thing we do want to do to address that. I don't want to be totally harsh. We are getting more involved in grant writing, and I think it's very realistic that we could try to get some grant monies like McCormick has done to help people who can't afford it. So that's a good question. I was being ugly. But I think that, you know, you still have to own up to it and maybe take precautions. If you have an unspayed female tethered out in the backyard, she's fair game for any wandering male. Yep. And I can tell you that males can smell females up to 10 miles away.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
So, to chain up your male, they'll break away. Yep. They're hardwired to break away for that. So to think you only have to spay the females is really unfair to the males who are still having this drive. If you think about it, that's like, you know, put it to the human perspective. Parade a bunch of bikini-clad women in front of a man and say, sorry, no touching.
There you go.
So, yeah. I mean, it's really cruel to a male dog to have him have to go through that. And they'll do what they can to get to the female.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's the creation, the keeping going of the species.
Yeah, I guess we need to have a talk with them.
Yes, maybe that's it. Maybe they need a talk.
Enough.
But the bottom line is there are ways to deal with this. And I mean, if you're going to have a pet, you're right. You have to take on the responsibilities of them. And if you've got one like Gracie, they just demand all this stuff. There is no question about it. So it would be certainly take a lot of pressure off the animal shelter if we could reduce the population of animals coming in there. And the only way to reduce the population is to not have so many being produced.
Correct.
I mean, that's really the bottom line, isn't it?
I had read an article, I'm assuming the statistic still holds true, that for, let's say, a community like ours, to keep it to where we're not having to euthanize just because there's too many, you'd have to have 70% of the pet population spayed or neutered so that through the other 30% and attrition, you're keeping it at a manageable level.
Sure.
I doubt there are 70% of the pets out here spayed and neutered. That's just a fact. So that creates that overflow problem. And, you know, I think part of it is really getting people to understand the number of animals coming in, and the number that don't make it. I don't like to share that, quite frankly. It's something I'm not proud of, but I think in order to get people to realize the seriousness of the overpopulation problem, they're going to have to know the reality of it. And if donating is important to keep us to be able to do what we want to do to help, but even more so, like you said, keep them from coming in the first place.
Exactly.
And stop them from reproducing. Sure. Then we can handle the ones that maybe have behavioral issues and there's other things, or just a change in lifestyle. Someone had to move and can't take a pet, and it's a wonderful pet.
Sure.
Well, if we don't have all these excess ones coming in that just were born for no evident reason, then that would give us an ability to rehome your pet.
Sure. And although it's a tough conversation to have, it's one that you need to have so that you can see people as when they're adopting. There's a whole lot more than just adopting that cute little kitty or that little puppy. There's a whole lifetime that goes with it.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes we get hung up in the moment, right? This is going to be fun. Yep, you know, and we always plan for our kids to grow up and go out on their own.
Right,
but you
right.
know what? Our pets don't. They stay right there with you, and thank God for that. I'd hate to see Gracie go out on her own.
I think I've seen her trying to go out on her own.
She has. Gracie, you get back here. All right, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we got some great events coming up where you can participate with the animal shelter right here in Greenwood. Don't you go away. Hey, if you got a question for Karen, if you really don't like what she said today, give us a call, 229-7984. Don't you go away.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime. From Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
All right, we're back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, and yes, I'm here with Karen Petty. I tell you what, we've talked about some of the hard parts of the Humane Society, but taking care of all these animals. And I don't think that when you take your one or two kitties out there, or you take your one dog out there, that you see the total picture of how many animals actually come through there. So while this was a hard conversation to have, I think it was a necessary one to have. The good news is you are able to get more of them adopted by sending southern dogs to the north. I wonder how these southern dogs feel about going north.
They look really happy, Anne.
They look happy. Well, that's great. But we do have some good events coming up. What's coming up?
Well, just this Saturday at Petco from 12 to 4, we'll be there with adoptable dogs. So come on out. I think I had a list written down of who's supposed to go. And I don't have my list, so you'll be surprised. But if you'll check our website or Facebook page, I'm going to post those with some photos as well. The following weekend is one of PetSmart's big national adoption events. It's September 13th through the 15th, and we'll be there all 3 days. And we're going to be reducing dog adoption rates to $60, which is a $25 discount.
That's
so
huge.
If you go to PetSmart and find the dog of your life and adopt it, you will get a $25 discount. Plus, Aroma's Coffee Shop, just a few doors down, will give you half off any drink of your choice in the store.
So after you've done this and you said, oh my God, what have I done? You can walk down to Aroma's and get a drink half price.
That's
what
right.
a deal!
I think it makes perfect sense.
Well, you know, the thing about it is the adoption fees, you know, what do they cover? Because, you know, when you look at, we just talked about $60 to get a female dog, roughly, to get a female dog spayed.
Right.
That's part of it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the spay and neuter, if it's a dog, they're tested for heartworms. And these tests are expensive, I'm sorry. Leukemia tests for cats, again, very expensive. And they get fully vaccinated. Rabies shots, distemper, they're dewormed, and they're microchipped. So they're really, you know, a whole
it's a
package.
Bargain.
It is. And I would challenge anyone to price out those fees separately and come up with a figure to share and compare with what the adoption fees are.
So that'll be going on this weekend at Petco and next weekend at PetSmart.
You got it.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
And cat adoption fees, it's $15 for adult cats. We can't reduce those much more. And for kittens a year or younger, it's $50 because there's a lot more testing. There's more medical that has to be done for
sure.
A kitten. So there'll be cats and kittens in the condo section of PetSmart next week as well.
So make sure you check that out if you'd like to get one. Nice time of the year to get a pet. The weather is nice and everything.
I think once school started and people got into a groove, for whatever reason, when school starts and then when Christmas comes, that seems to be pet shopping time. So, yeah, we've had an increase in adoptions over the last couple of weeks, and we're very, very thankful for that.
Absolutely. That's great. And then, of course, coming up in October, there's an event.
We are going to be offering to the public again a beautiful Hope calendar photographed by John Holloway. And I can tell you, I've seen the proof and I wept openly. I'm not ashamed to share because the pictures are so beautiful. And all of them are of animals from the shelter. And what he did different this time was not only did we get about four or five that had been adopted and we went to the people's homes and got the photos, we included animals that were still at the shelter. But guess what?
They've been adopted.
Every single one of them has been adopted. So they've all been adopted that are in the calendar, and what a great problem. So it's really beautiful, full color, and we're going to have those available in October and officially with a launch to tie in with the Oktoberfest uptown 17th. On the 17th.
Yep.
Absolutely. So the launch will be at the Sundance Gallery on Maxwell Avenue.
Will you have any dogs there?
You know what? We didn't last year because we didn't know what to expect. But I'd like to. I think that would be a neat idea.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll have to check it out and let us know so we can put the word out there.
Thank you. We will do that.
Okay. All right. So you've got that going on. October is Adopt-A-Dog Month.
It is.
I didn't know that.
It is.
Yes.
And we will actually be reducing the dog adoption fees even more for Dog Adoption Month to $50. And we'll be running different specials and highlighting different fun things about the dogs. And we'll be at PetSmart and Petco on the weekends as well for that.
Now, you know, I remember in the spring you had a real food crunch.
We did. We did have a food crunch. Gosh, you have a good memory.
How are we doing?
Well, this
is
interesting. You know, a lot of times when there seems to be no hope in sight, something miraculous drops in your lap. And we had a gentleman call us who we've worked with in the past, and there was a company up in New Jersey that had a bunch of food that was about to go out of date, high quality organic food, and they shipped it down free. And we paid like 6 cents a pound versus, it's like 78 cents a pound otherwise. And we got all this food. It was amazing. Now, we have to use it all very quickly, but that's okay because
you need to.
It took care of the problem, and they're getting really high quality food. You don't have to feed them as much because it's so chock full of vitamins and proteins. And it's, you know, it turned out to be such a godsend because it's better quality food we could have got at the store.
Wow.
For cheaper.
Wow. Well, that's terrific. Now, do you have any needs or anything right now if people are listening and would like to contribute or go out and buy something because you need it?
We do, and I'm going to be really blunt with you.
Well, you've been doing that all afternoon,
Let me continue on and close with more. You know, we ended up, and, you know, we're funded by the county, and sort of at the last minute, the amount of money that was initially put in the budget was cut, and as a result we had to make some hard decisions, and we started inoculating animals on intake last summer, which is part of the reason why we had such a live release rate, because we have to keep them healthy to get them out the door.
Sure.
Well, we had to immediately cease and desist because we had to make some hard choices, and that was a costly thing even though it saved lives. So as a result, we've had to stop inoculating on intake, and we've had an increase in illness naturally and an increase in euthanasia over the last 6 to 8 weeks, and it's been really, really tough. So we frankly need money so that we can get back to buying these vaccines and vaccinating these animals on intake like you're supposed to help keep them healthy. And you increase the health of the whole population,
sure.
The whole shelter that way.
Sure.
So that has been a very difficult thing for us to have to deal with, and so that we really need money.
For inoculations.
Absolutely. So, you know, you can go on our website, gwdhumanesociety.org, and there's a big donate button there. You can donate through PayPal, or you can send checks made out to the Humane Society of Greenwood to our P.O. box, and that's 49776 Greenwood 29649. All this information is on our website. You can go to our Facebook page. All that information is on there as well. But, you know, we just really need some help because we've got these outlets through these rescues, but if we can't keep them healthy, we can't get them out.
Right. Wow. Well, you know, Karen, if it's not one thing, it's another.
Darn it.
I know. But at least now, how long is the food good for? I mean,
we'll be good probably till about Christmas time. And usually with Christmas, we end up with a lot of food donations. And, you know, he could call me and we can call him too and see if he's got another shipment coming in. So this was an outlet, though, we didn't even know existed when I met with you in the spring. So I'm sure more things like that can come up as well.
Absolutely. Now, any other things that you need for the shelter? I mean, I know that Title Max of Greenwood is collecting supplies for the Humane Society.
Well, the things that we always buy or every week that would be great if we didn't have to spend money on would be simple things like dish soap. We use Dawn dish soap. It's a great degreaser. Dawn, people of America, you're welcome. We could use Purina. We could still use some other foods like kitten chow we don't get, and even puppy food. So Purina brand has been really good. It's a stable diet for them. We don't use clay cat litter very often now. We switch to pine pellets, which is better, it seems. It's not as dusty, and so they don't get as irritated in their noses. paper towels, bleach, stuff like that, everyday stuff. Guess what? We got to take care of about 150 to 200 animals, and we need that kind of stuff. So just the simple stuff like that.
And when exactly is the adoption center open, Karen?
It's open Monday through Saturday, 10 until 5.
10 until 5. Okay, so plenty of time to get out there. Now, when you go out there, what are you to expect?
A lot of barking.
Okay.
But, you know, I would also advise if you have internet, go look at the pictures of the available animals, too, because you might see something that I got to get down there right now, or you may not even see something you're interested in. But, you know, come down and play, for heaven's sakes. We need volunteers, too. And one thing, let me tell you, if you don't mind, for these dogs going to rescue, one thing that could help is if we could get foster homes to take these dogs that we know are leaving for rescue in a week or two. If we can get them out of the shelter and prevent them from getting sick and then open up a space for another dog to come in, that would be a huge life-saving effort, too.
So you need foster parents out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And we know it'd be short-term because we know these are dogs that have a place to go. They have a home to go to.
And you wouldn't be just funning with people if you told them, we're just going to send it out here for a week and then they find out that nobody's ever coming?
It does
happen.
Yeah,
yes.
And if you bring it back and we're like, uh-oh, what are we going to do now with Fido? This is a great way because it's win-win. The people don't have to worry about that kind of dynamic, which I totally get. And I would ask them to call our shelter at 864-942-8558 and let them know that they're interested in finding out more information to help in that way.
So foster parents for the dogs out there, that would be very excellent and a good way to know if you would be amenable to having an animal, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, Karen, it's always nice to have you come out here and share with us what's going on out there. It's an important part of people that have dogs and cats, but it's also important to the community to be able to keep the dogs and cats off the streets and make sure that they're safe.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you for having me here today. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. And we hope you get that contract with the county worked out so that things will move forward, which is what we always are looking for. Hey, I tell you what, you know what? We are out of time. I'll be back in the morning, 8 o'clock. So you make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for coming out today, Karen.
Thank you, Ann. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.